This is Brad Dacus of the Dacus Report, heard weekly on Bible School Radio 91.3 KDKR Decatur Dallas Fort Worth and on 91.3 KYJC Commerce.
Portions of KDKR's daily programming do not necessarily reflect the views of the management or staff.
Prudent Money with Bob Brooks is sponsored by the Prudent Money Foundation on 91.3.
So what is the rule of thumb regarding emergency funds? Today we're going to take a look. Stay tuned for Prudent Money.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Prudent Money Radio Show. I'm your host, Bob Brooks. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it.
Well, if you got a question for me, please go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. Send a question in to the Ask Bob section, and I will get that that question answered for you. And if you got a comment you want to share, if you want, here's one I don't talk about very often. If you want to want me to cover something on the radio show, you'd love to hear my take on something, please let me know that as well. That's off the website, www.prudentmoney.com. We talk a little bit about emergency funds throughout the year and talk about the different opinions on emergency funds. And yesterday, an article came out that Susie Orman revised her advice on how much money you need in an emergency fund. And this really made a couple of things jump out at me that I think kind of redefine what an emergency fund is and what it is not, and maybe the best way to go about establishing one. The article, which came from MarketWatch, says, recently Susie Orman revised her advice on how much you need in an emergency fund to cover between 8 and 12 months. To 12 months worth of expenses. The reason, there's a potential recession looming on the horizon, she says. You know that my hope is that you work your way toward having enough set aside to cover 12 months of essential living costs. And also, you also know your way toward having enough set aside to cover 12 months of essential living costs. And you also know that I realize they can't take time. But every month you move closer to your new goal is a month to celebrate your progress. Absolutely. Anytime that you set a financial goal and you get that much closer, it is a time to not only celebrate, but to be thankful that God gave you the means to do so, which is a little bit of a stewardship angle to it. It got me to thinking, you know, that the textbook answer when someone says, well, how much money should I have in an emergency fund? And the textbook answer is always 6 months. 6 months worth of income. And of course, that if you were to say, okay, I'm going to save 6 months worth of income, having that amount of money saved up is way better than not having any at all. No question. But I've always felt like there's got to be a better way. And so what came to mind yesterday as I was reading this, as Susie Orman says, 8 to 12 months was the old rule. Now 12 months is the new rule. And she says that because of a potential recession looming on the horizon. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know that I need prices to go higher for me to declare that we are more likely in a recession with inflation getting out of control. I don't know that I need more evidence. Not even to mention the fact that the rule of recessions is too quarters of time. So January, let's say the last two quarters, January, February, March, one quarter, April, May, and June, a second quarter. When you have both of those quarters with negative economic growth in both of them consecutively, that is, you're considered to be in a recession. Now, for some odd reason, those are, that doesn't apply to this situation. We've talked about this. I just couldn't believe when, before they gave out the second quarter of negative economic growth, that number that would make us into a, what has been accepted as the definition of a recession. You had hosts on CNBC saying, oh, well, this time's different, which is a dangerous thing to say because this time is rarely different. So I would suggest we're already there. Maybe she falls in the camp, obviously she falls in the camp of potential recession looming on the horizon. I think that if we're not in a recession, boy, I hate to see the one we're going to get in. So having said that, I don't think that that is the reason, although a good reason, to start putting money back in a emergency fund. I think it's a core principle of stewardship to make sure that you've got that aspect, because it's very short term covered. You know, I was just thinking the other day, the amount of short term situations that required money that went beyond my spending plan that have occurred just this past 3 or 4 months. And that's just, you know, that's just life. That's just living. Those things happen. And the problem is that we're so undersaved for those types of situations that it ends up creating debt or ends up creating a situation that you weren't necessarily wanted the limited options to cover it, but you just don't have an emergency fund. So I've said this before and I stick to it, and I'll come back to what I was talking about in a minute. I would even suggest that it makes sense, that it makes more sense to forego putting money in a long-term 401k account and packing that money back into an emergency fund until you get to the point that you feel comfortable. Because here's the question. What good is it going to do you to put all this money for the long term if you don't have the short term covered? And I just really do think it's a foundational principle when it comes to stewardship to make sure that that part of your financial life is covered. Now, where it gets a little, where it gets a little bit messy with the definitions of, and I always find it interesting when planning, when people come up with these numbers of, well, I need $2,000 to $4,000, or $6,000 to $8,000, or $4,000 to $5,000, well, a month in income and retirement. Well, do you need four? Do you need five? Do you need six? I mean, it's a completely different set of numbers to support each one of those parts of a range of income. Well, it's kind of the same thing with emergency funds. You need 5 to 6 months worth of income setback, or you need, here in this situation, 8 to 12. There's a huge gap there. You get to eight months put back for emergency expenses, and you go, well, should I keep going to 12? So I think of it from the standpoint of intentional funding for emergencies, not just funding, but intentional. Why are you funding your emergency account? It's no different than the illustration that I use for why are you funding a retirement account. And what I would love to see everybody who listens, everybody who reads my blogs and follows what I put out there, is for you to get to a point where you can say, if someone asks you the question, what are you saving money for in yeah, what are you saving money for? Let's just start with that question. And most people would say, well, I'm saving money for retirement. Well, what specifically about retirement are you saving money for? And that's where the answer stops. For most, I mean, that's the vast majority of people fit into that equation. That's just the way it is. I would love for everybody to get to a point to where they would say, I am saving X amount a month with my employer matching X amount a month, this amount of money, so that I can accumulate this amount of money at this age and hopefully grow this money on an average of this amount of growth over the next X amount of years when I get to that age, so that when I get to that age, I can draw out X amount of dollars a month in today's dollars and live off of those earnings until age 90. How cool would that be to be able to be that focused in on your goals? And we could get off into a whole nother topic of why that is a powerful way to live, to be able to illustrate in detail and be so intentional about goal setting. The power that goes beyond that, or from that, is incredible. That just says you know what you're doing, where you're going, and why you're doing it. It's a lot. I will give you that. It is a lot. And it's a worthy goal to shoot for. Well, same thing is how you intentionally fund an emergency account. And that's what we will go through, as well as where to fund your emergency account after the break here. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. We're up against a break. Stick around. I'll be right back.
The Word for Today is excited to announce the new official online home for the ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith and Kay Smith, pastorchuck.org. At pastorchuck.org, you'll have instant access to thousands of hours of verse-by-verse teaching by Pastor Chuck Smith from Genesis through Revelation, and full access to special messages on subjects such as prophecy and much, much more. Also at pastorchuck.org, a full library of great teachings by Kay Smith, and a section where you can read some of Pastor Chuck's books online, all free of charge. So visit the new official online home of The Word for Today and the ministry of Pastor Chuck and Kay Smith, pastorchuck.org.
Hi, this is Bob Brooks. What is the single most important verse on stewardship? Well, you can find that verse in two books, word for word, Matthew 6:24 and Luke 16:13. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow, what a powerful statement. On the Prudent Money Radio Show, we talk stewardship and how to stay in a committed, surrendered stewardship relationship with God. Listen to the Prudent Money Radio Show weekdays at 3 p.m.
I'm John Eder of Live the Word. I want to invite you to join me at 4:45 weekdays right here on KDKR 91.3 FM. We look at our world in light of what the Bible says the world's going to look like before Jesus Christ returns. And we answer some important questions, very practical questions, about how do we live in a day like this. So join us again, 4:45 p.m. right here, 91.3 FM, Bible School Radio.
Welcome back. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. You know I do appreciate it. If you got a question for me, please go to the website at www.prudentmoney.com. You can send it in. I will get back with you. If you've ever sent in a question you didn't get a response, please check your spam filter or give us a call. It's real easy. We're here. Want to make sure that you get your questions answered. That's all at the website, prudentmoney.com. So we're talking about intentional funding for emergency funds. So I want to invite you to think a little bit differently to what pop culture finance puts out there in the textbooks and in the articles of you need 6 months of income. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't. There's two overriding issues with how you set up and categorize and fund an emergency account. First of all, that you've prayed over these answers. Something we, me included, forget to do sometimes. And that we have peace for that these are the answers. And remember, none of these answers are cast in stone. You could think that, well, this is the answer that I want for this category. Then 3 months later, something could happen. You go, you know, well, I need to change that. And of course, this is a goal you work towards. If you look at the statistics, people are way beyond ready for an emergency to happen. But you got to start somewhere. Got to start somewhere. And you could add categories to this as well. But I call this intentional funding because you're defining what an emergency account should be there, what should be there ready to fund in the event if something goes outside of your spending plan. The first category is your house. And I talked a little bit about this last week. The, you know, anything your house can, with your house can break down, needs to be repaired. And there's a certain dollar amount that you'd feel comfortable with having put back for that cost. One of the things I would encourage you to look into and make sure you get with a reputable one is these home warranties. You pay X amount of dollars a month. It's not too terribly expensive. And it covers you from on the big ticket items. It will cover the vast majority of that expense. On the smaller ticket items, it covers all of it most of the time. And I'm a big believer in warranties. And so there's my bias. So bias alert. The second category is your expenses for your car. This is one of the reasons I love having, if you've listened to us on a Friday, Tony Joe comes in, and we've been doing this program from day one, so 20, I don't know, I can't even remember now, 20, almost 23 years. And Tony Joe comes in every Friday and talks about cars and talks about, and why we do this is because your car could be, if you add it up all throughout all the years of your existence, could be one of the most, or probably is one of the most things that you spend the biggest amount of money on besides your, well, outside of your house, probably even more than college expenses, I would assume. So being able to make sure that you're spending that money efficiently, effectively, but I would suggest it makes sense to have some money put back in that category. And you may say, you know, I don't need that category. I've got a 5-year warranty on my car. Everything's covered. So for the, it may be for a different season that you want to cover that. Then a category that I like is just miscellaneous expenses, smaller things that pop up that you don't really know about, you don't expect to come in. And then, of course, the biggest aspect of any emergency fund is replacement of income. This is when you get laid off. And this is, you know, something that concerns me, I think, as we see more and more of the statistics that point towards unemployment starting to rise again. And really, what is the true unemployment number? I think it's a much larger problem than the media is letting on that it is. Well, actually, the media gets fed the information that they report. And as you and I have talked about on many occasions, that a lot of that information is not really very accurate. Anyway, don't get off on that rabbit trail. But is it, you know, 4 months of income, 6 months of income, 8 months of income? Of course, that's going to be the biggest aspect of the biggest part, biggest category of your emergency fund. And then one we hate to talk about, cross our fingers it won't pop up, is the medical expenses. And that is the deductibles, that is the co-payments, that is the prescriptions, that's the it's just you go through all the different things, and it does add up. And you got to think about, well, if this occurs, what am I going to use to pay for it? And maybe it's that you put income and medical as the top two categories that you want to fund as quickly as possible. And this is not an exact science, but what it does is it gets you focused in on a more exact number that you can look at and rely on, instead of just saying, well, you know, 8 to 12 months. Well, is it 8 months? Is it 9 months? Is 12 months? Where do you really get that number from? And so anyway, just a couple things to think about. This is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. So this came off of one question, off of a two-part question. The first part of the question is, what is your rule of thumb in finding a place to hold emergency money? One thing that, interestingly enough, because I guess I wasn't paying attention to it as I should have, interest rates, as we have painfully been aware, have been hardly, almost, you know, 0 to 0.25% on money that we leave in a bank. You know, the joke is, it was at some point we're going to be paying the banks to leave our money in the bank. It's just pathetic, very pitiful how low the interest rates. And that's a function of the Federal Reserve Board and their and them, the way that they have handled interest rates. But it's just been non-existent, so I haven't really paid that much attention to it. But what ended up happening, because of what the Federal Reserve Board has done with interest rates, the short-term interest rates have been going up, which means now you can actually get a little bit more for your emergency fund money, savings money, whatever you call it, in banks. So interest rates have changed. So this is my invitation to you to go check out what you're making on cash and to see if there's another better option for you. So let's talk about what I would call the three places that you can put your money back for an emergency fund. Obviously, the first one is banks. The second obvious fact is banks are there to make a profit. And it's a business. And so they're going to give you as little as possible that they can get away with, which is what they've done. So to me, the big banks are not a great place to have money saved back. Then there's online banks. A little bit more, maybe some of the more competitive rates. They have less overhead, and the banks, online banks, cover the FDIC $250,000 per account insurance. At the end of the day, they're still online banks. So you have to, for the little bit extra, you have to determine, well, am I okay with that? What most people don't consider is credit unions. And what I have found is that credit unions tend to give better interest rates, and their loans are at better interest rates as well. One of the reasons they can get away with that, if the going rate is this and they're giving more, you know, we always talk about that, is that credit unions are nonprofit. So they don't have to make a profit, and they make it more about the member of the credit union than the almighty dollar, as banks do. So nonprofit will get you a lot more than for profit. Customer service tends to be a lot better at credit unions. And here's what you may not know. There are all kinds of ways to become a member of credit unions. In fact, my favorite credit union that I refer and recommend all the time has one way that you can become a member of it if you're a part of a certain fraternity of people. Then you can be, I'm not trying to promote it, so I won't give out that information since we're on nonprofit radio as it is. And there's other places you can join an association, you know, $25 a year, and you can become a member. So there's all kinds of ways to join credit unions, but you might want to check that out as a way of funding your emergency fund. Hey, this is Bob Brooks, and you are listening to the Prudent Money Radio Show. If you've got a question for me, please go to the website at prudentmoney.com and send it in, because we are all out of time. Till we do meet again next time, keep the faith and have a great rest of the day.
That's all the time we have for today. Questions or comments for Bob, or to find out more great information like what you've just heard, visit www.prudentmoney.com. Be sure to join Bob Brooks again for the next edition of Prudent Money.